What happens when the pulpits are silent? The people perish for a lack of knowledge.
Sometimes I'll just be feeling despair because you watch everything falling apart around you. But I have to say, I've been feeling more joy in my life than ever before because I'm excited. I'm anticipating the coming King. I'm anticipating what's around the corner.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today we play a portion of our Understanding the Times conference night back on August 4th. Our guest for the evening was Michelle Bachman. We are playing highlights from the presentation that night.
So glad you can join me today. Say we had a great evening back on August the 4th with our special guest, Michelle Bachman. You hear her frequently here on Understanding the Times Radio, and I'm going to play about 55 minutes of that two-hour program today on Understanding the Times. You can watch it in its entirety at my website, olivetreeviews.org, then to video, or you can get a DVD of the event as well. So let's get to today's program.
Thank you all for being here tonight. Can you hear me? Oh, good, because I've got a lot to say. And I want to also thank everyone who is joining us online tonight. I know that Jan's audiences are huge and growing all the time because the material that comes through Understanding the Times and through Pastor Mark Henry is the most relevant, truthful material you're going to hear in almost any venue today. People understand the times and hopefully know what to do. And yes, I left to go to Israel on Saturday night, and I just got back late this morning. So I was excited about coming here and talking to you tonight. What is on my heart is something that I've been thinking about for some time and an observation that I've been making. And it's this: in the midst of all of this lawlessness and in the midst of the lies, we are drowning in lies nearly every day, and this is difficult. Think about when you grew up, when you were a little kid, and you would go out in the morning and your mom wouldn't hear from you. You'd just be playing all day, and she might say, "Time for lunch," and then you come home. And then you go back out again, maybe go swimming, or you do whatever you're going to do, horse around with your friends. Then you'd hear, "Time for supper," you come back in. What an innocent time that we lived in. And little girls didn't even like little boys. And little boys didn't even like little girls. We just played the games that we played. We never once thought that maybe a little girl was a little boy or a little boy was a little girl. I mean, this just didn't even happen. When you think about even 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, and then you think about today, we hear this horrific news. When I was picked up today at 5 o'clock, I was told that at 4:30, this shooting happened in the Nike store at Mall of America. Nobody knew how many are shot or if anyone is dead, so we prayed right away. We don't know. But what we did is we turned to each other and we said, every day, something insane happens every day. And it isn't that there's more communication. It's that there's more insanity every day. And why is that? I don't think it's hard to understand. It's because mankind is rejecting God more now than ever and embracing that which is false. We see more mocking, more scoffing, more of everything. But what we really see a lot of these days is propaganda. That's what we hear. I spent the last, from Saturday on, with the guy who was driving me around Israel, was from Russia, and he was an atheist. We talked about the Lord the whole time in the back of the car. There was about four of us in the car, and he warmed the whole time. But it was an excellent conversation, because we talked about the former Soviet Union and what the former Soviet Union was like, and I had so many people in Israel say to me, "What is going on in America? What is happening over there? We don't recognize what we read. Is it really as bad as it is?" And so Boris, isn't that a great name? Like Bullwinkle and Rocky, you know, is Boris and Natasha. And we were talking, and he was talking to me about propaganda. and propaganda in the USSR. And I got to thinking, oh, no, no, we've got the freshest propaganda. And that's what we deal with literally every day here in the United States. We are dealing with propaganda, whether it is coming from government, whether the propaganda is coming from woke corporations, whether it's coming from the culture institutions like Hollywood, you name it, through banking industries. We are getting inundated with propaganda day after day after day. And when that happens, you can get numb. You can get immune. You kind of tune it out and figure, oh, I guess that's the noise level I'm going to live with now. And you just keep going on. Because somehow the human mind says, I got to adapt. I've got to adapt to my situation. And I'm here tonight to tell you, do not adapt. Don't adapt to propaganda. Because propaganda is lies. Because you see, those who are pushing propaganda care about what they want. They don't care about what you want, because you want something that's going to make your life better. Those who are pushing this propaganda want what they want. And so that's where we have to understand that our souls right now are living in anguish every day, and it's exhausting. It's exhausting because we are swimming in a sea of lies. And I think about the scripture about righteous Lot. When righteous Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah, the scripture said that his soul was vexed. Vexed means angry. His soul was angry. Have you felt that in the last 2 years? In the last 3 years? That you feel like your soul is just angry? When am I going to wake up and this is over? If you ever remember that old soap opera at night, Dallas, and one season, they woke up and it was all a big dream and there was Bobby. And I keep hoping that it'll be like an episode of Dallas. And we'll wake up and we'll go back to normal. And Jan and I talk about this all the time. If you look according to scripture, I don't think that's going to happen. Because it's like we leapt into a completely different era and a completely different time. And so that's why it's important that we keep our heads about us and that we know who we are, we know whose we are, and it is more important than ever before in our lives. I think more important than any era in human history that we know the Lord, that we know His Word, and the power of His Word, and that we stay in the power of His Word, and we stay in relationship with Him through prayer, and that we do what the Bible says, that we are to be like the 10 virgins with our oil lamps full and with the wicks lit. Because when we know that our Messiah is soon coming, we got to be ready. Is it an option? I guess so. But if you're a believer, honestly, it is the most exciting time in history to be alive. Because we have a soon and coming king, and we are living in the days that the prophets long to see. We are privileged to live now. Jan and I have talked about it. The greatest prophecy ever has been fulfilled in our lifetimes. And that is the rise of modern Israel in 1948. And God has been bringing the Jews back just from Ukraine falling alone just in these last few months. 30,000 Jews have come into Israel from Ukraine. More are coming all the time. I met with incoming Jews who've come in as refugees. And this is a unique nation, but it is filling biblical prophecy. Just like in 1967, when Jerusalem finally came back into Israel's hands, like Ezekiel foretold, that is 1,500 years of prophecy fulfilled in our lifetime. Is the Bible true? Are you kidding me? It's absolutely true. It is the truest thing out there. And so all the propaganda, all the lies, whatever the bureaucracy is telling us on any given day, let them go ahead and blow all the smoke they want to blow. because we know what is true and what is happening. And occasionally I'll call Jan, and sometimes I'll just be feeling despair because you watch everything falling apart around you. But I have to say, I've been feeling more joy in my life than ever before because I'm excited. I'm anticipating the coming King. I'm anticipating what's around the corner. Something that is telling me that he is coming soon is, as I've been thinking about propaganda and why we've had so much propaganda that we've had to deal with, why we've had so much lies that we have to deal with, because propaganda begets persecution. And one thing that the scripture says is at the very last days that persecution will rise for God's people. Well, that can be frightening if you're God's people, the persecution. But one thing I started to see is that persecution is rising. We've had a good life, and I'm not talking in the Middle East, I'm talking here. Persecution is rising, but it's subtle. Satan never takes a stake and just slaps you in the face with it. It's subtle. And here's the subtlety. There's a terrible anger. It's a satanic anger that is out in America right now. And the anger is against the Bible believer who is not lukewarm, but knows God, believes the Bible, and wants to apply the Bible, and wants to understand the Bible, and wants to take the truths of the Bible, not only to other people, but also to take it in the public sphere. I didn't even realize this. Someone brought it to my attention, that all of a sudden there's been all of these books that are written. I've got one here. It's called Taking America Back for God. Sounds like a great title. It isn't. This is the blueprint for a national smear campaign against Christians. And what they've done is they came up with a term. They invented a term, probably for most of the people in this audience. They mentioned my name in this book as one of them. And we are called Christian nationalists, like a white nationalist or like national socialists. So the pejorative, meaning negative term, accusatory term that they've given us is Christian nationalists. They hate Christians. They hate Christians because we take the Bible seriously. We take what the Bible says seriously. We want to obey, and we want to see our nation grow and prosper. You know what they really hate? They really hate our heritage. They really hate the Christian foundation of America. They hate David Barton of Wall Builders Ministry. He's mentioned in here multiple times. They hate it when a church has a Freedom Sunday and there's an honoring of veterans. They think it's terrible when veterans stand up in a church and we honor veterans. They hate it on July 4th if we talk about the primary source documents, the actual quotes from our founders, that they look to Holy God. There is no question, it isn't even debatable, the number one book that was referenced by the founders across the board when they're putting this nation together was the Bible. A distant second was the great French philosopher Montesquieu, then the English philosopher John Locke, and others, but it was the Bible. In fact, you can take the Declaration of Independence apart and you can find scripture for almost every portion, the Constitution, scripture for almost every portion, because these were some of the most brilliant geniuses ever assembled, and they wanted to get it right. They weren't perfect, but they wanted to get it right, and they sought the Lord, and this is the document they came up with. The people who hate Christians in America now are trying to define us. They came up with the term Christian nationalists. They've defined Christian nationalists as someone who believes the Bible and believes what the scripture says. And this is the worst sin of all in their mind. They take the biblical principles and they want to take them into the voting booth. And they want to take those ideas and see it in American law at the federal, state, and local level. And nothing could be worse than that. And clearly, we are racist. They call us that over and over and over. This is considered the Bible. This is quoted more often than any other book on that topic of Christian nationalism. I want to bring this up to you because you're going to hear a lot about it. And let me tell you how this works. This is propaganda. That's what this is. It's not true. It's lies. I read this book, and it's underlined all over the place. I write in the margins, and I just couldn't believe it. I wrote lies, false, not true, never happened, all through this book. But it's propaganda because the church is being lied about. Because the whole intention is to make sure what? That we shut up. That's it. These people aren't too complicated. Because what they really hate more than anything in this book, they're trying to talk about this whole concept that Christians just want raw political power. And when you're accused of that, the accuser is the one who is doing exactly what they're accusing us of doing. They want raw political power. You see, they want what they want. They hate democracy. Have you noticed that? In D.C., they hate democracy. They love shoving whatever their idea is down our throat at any given time. But what they have to do is take the heel of their boot and rub it into our faces. And they're trying to create a scare campaign all across America that Christian nationalists are the domestic terrorists that are destroying this nation. I highly doubt that whoever is over at the Mall of America is a Baptist who's on Bible study. I doubt that. And I don't mean to make fun of this situation that's going on. But this is how absurd this is. That's why I make that comparison, to show you the absurdity.
If you join me late, I'm playing a portion of our evening with Michelle Bachman back on August the 4th. We have another Understanding the Times event on Thursday, October 6th with Pastor Billy Crone. It will be live streamed to the world, as we always do, and I'll give you more details closer to the date. Now back to Michelle Bachman.
They are serious when they are saying that it is the believer who is the domestic terrorist. Tie that now to this farce that we're watching with the January 6th committee. If you've been reading about that, seeing what Liz Cheney and all the cohorts are doing in Washington, D.C. Now think about it. The thing that absolutely flips these people out that are the ones that are behind books like this, articles like this. I had another big screed that I read about this from another professor. Two professors are from Boston University. And one guy's title is narrator and advocate. So what they're doing is they're creating a narration, a story, not a true story. It's propaganda about who we are and what we want. Because what they're saying is that Christian nationalists, really, all we want to do is we want to deprive everybody else of their rights. We want to deprive people of skin color that isn't our skin color, of their rights. We want to keep them down. Our whole desire is to oppress people. We hate Muslims. We don't want to have anything to do with them. We want to oppress Muslims. We are so xenophobic, and we don't like open borders. I mean, this is bizarre. It's like millions of people have come in across our borders. It's causing unparalleled havoc in our nation. And they're saying, we're the bad guys because we want to have control of our borders. What they're advocating is insane. It's insane. But this is how bizarre our times are, because they truly are going to journalists. They're going to academia. They're going to corporations. They're going to seminaries. They're going to pastors. They're going to evangelical pastors, to evangelical leaders. And I have been hearing this in evangelical circles, that the worst threat that there is out there right now is Christian nationalism. Because these Christian nationalists, really all they are is a bunch of haters that hate black people and hate this and hate that, and they want to take over the country. And we have to make sure that we purge Christian nationalists out of our congregations, out of our seminaries. We can't have anything to do with them. This is growing, and it's just starting. And the way that this propaganda works is that they give a name, They give a definition. They make it toxic. You don't want to have anything to do with it. So then if someone turns and says, are you a Christian nationalist? You sound like a Christian nationalist. What's your first response? No, no, I'm not a Christian nationalist. No, I wouldn't be like that. That's not me. Just realize, this is absolutely phony, baloney stuff. They created a term, they infused it with a false definition, and then they insult you and accuse you that that's who you are. So then the church is on defense. And why do they want to do this? They are absolutely singularly obsessed that in 2016, their candidate didn't get elected. That's what this is about. I mean, is this bizarre? But they are still smarting that Donald Trump won in 2016. And the thing that they figured out, the reason why Donald Trump won, is because Christian nationalists, in their opinion, backed him. The people who backed him were people who are spiritually active, governmentally engaged, who read their Bible and know what the Bible says. They looked at the platform of the Democrat Party. They looked at the platform of the Republican Party. They saw Antonin Scalia just died, and a Supreme Court justice was going to be appointed, pretty important. Did they trust Hillary? Did they trust Donald Trump? They didn't really like Donald Trump, but they looked at Hillary Clinton, so they looked back at Donald Trump, and they pulled the lever. He got in. And they're still going nuts over it to this day. So, like, why would you be so obsessed? I mean, I'm sure you don't know that I probably didn't vote for Joe Biden, but I didn't. I mean, I'll tell you that right now. But, I mean, I don't spend all day spitting nails because Joe Biden won. It's what happened, and you deal with it, and you move on. Not so with this crowd. It's so obsessive that it almost seems like it's satanically inspired. It's this over-the-top reaction that I've never seen before. Now, this has happened before. This has happened in history in China, in Germany, in authoritarian countries. And so they look for a scapegoat. They look for somebody to blame for their problems. And I want you to know about this because I don't want you to be caught off guard. That's one thing that Jan Show does so well. She goes to the hot-button issue, and she lets believers know what's happening. Well, I'm telling you, this is what's happening. I hadn't heard about it until earlier this spring, and then I started researching. Have any of you heard of this one fellow? He had another name, and then he changed his name to Ibrahim X. Kendi, K-E-N-D-I, from Boston University. He's been making just boatloads of money going out to corporations and academic institutes and appearing on TV. And so he's out there pushing this whole notion about racism, 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 and all the corporations have to now adopt woke policies like diversity, inclusion, equity. That's the new ideology that's being pushed in America. So in government, Donald Trump found out that critical race theory, which is diversity, inclusion, equity, they all sound like great terms, they're not. He found out this was being taught to federal employees. He got rid of it. Joe Biden, the second he got in, he put it back in. Why is this important to our conversation? Ideology and philosophy matter. You see, our nation was founded by people who had a belief in God and a belief in Scripture, and their values and their attitudes came from that understanding. They wanted to be obedient to a holy God, and they tried to live that personally, and they wanted the society to reflect that. That view is hated. That view that took the United States of America to the highest heights of any nation in the world, that's hated. They want to pull that philosophy down. Remember when Barack Obama said in 5 days we're going to transform the United States of America? That has to be transformed through philosophy. So the philosophy of the Pilgrims and the Puritans and the early settlers, all of that now is being swept off the table, but there's no vacuum. The new ideology is coming in right in behind. Diversity, inclusion, equity. And you've heard of ESG for corporations, where it's the sustainability and the equity and the governance. The whole point is equality of outcome. And whereas in the United States of America, it was merit and past experience and performance that would allow for hiring and that would allow for promotion, that's not true anymore. The two number one criterion, and this is stated by, if you're familiar with Jordan Peterson, a professor in Toronto, Canada, he's been on a lot of YouTubes out there. He just quit his job. He resigned from the University of Toronto. He couldn't take it anymore, the diversity, inclusion, equity agenda. Because he said, I couldn't in good conscience anymore bring in PhD students and train them knowing full well they'd never get a job after years of laboring and spending all that money because they didn't go along with this new philosophy. You see, this is a huge thing that's happening. Listen to me. This is huge. The whole philosophy that we grew up with in this country swept right off the table into the trash can. That is like old stuff, and we want nothing to do with it. And if any of you Christians out there dare talk about the United States in a positive way, or dare say that the founders were worthy of being heroes, why do you think they pull those statues down? They absolutely hate the philosophy that built up America. Now, does that seem insane? That's what brought the greatest nation, the greatest economy, the greatest freedom. We've been the greatest resource for other nations and people in trouble. Whenever there's trouble, we're there. But they hate it. And so that philosophy in their mind, hey, that's gone. You idiot Christians, you backward Neanderthals, what is wrong with you? Get with the program. Diversity, inclusion, equity, ESG, if you're a corporation, get with it. You see, there's only one philosophy, no questions asked. Everybody on board or get off the bus. Do you see that? It's the big shut up. We're living through the big shut up. And that's what the cancel culture is. And the skunk at the garden party were the Christians who showed up in 2016 and foiled their little plan and their party because they were just going to keep going. So they doubled down. They put everything they possibly could in to 2020. And so they were so upset that Donald Trump ran again. Because you see, they had one impeachment. They thought, like with Richard Nixon and Watergate, they'd shame the guy, he'd resign. He didn't resign, he went up in the polls after the first impeachment. So they had to have a second impeachment that he had colluded with Russia to win in 2016 because he couldn't have possibly won on his own. Well, that went a little better for them. It hurt Donald Trump, but not that much. So now, hence the January 6th committee. The third impeachment. Because you see, they have to try and come up with evidence. That's why they're trying to bring in Peter Navarro, the former Commerce Secretary, trying to bring in Mark Meadows, the former Chief of Staff, trying to bring in Steve Bannon, who was a senior advisor. They're trying to bring all these people in so that they'll cop a plea with the committee and they can get state's evidence and then they can give some evidence to Merrick Garland, the Attorney General. And he can give a criminal indictment against Donald Trump so that he'll be so tied up in knots he can't run for president in 2024. That's all this is. I mean, these are selfish monsters. They would destroy your country so these selfish monsters can sit in their positions of power. That's how stupid this game is. Do you get it? This is a magnificent nation that generations built up. Many for the glory of God. And these people are so shallow and could care less. But there's a few that are really committed to an agenda that has more in common with communist China and communist Russia than anything else we've ever seen before. So this is real stuff. This is big time bingo. This isn't small potatoes anymore. See, this is huge. And the only thing standing in their way for success is you. You. because 81% of you showed up and voted for that rascal, Donald Trump, in 2016. And do you understand that in 2020, like 99% of spiritually active, governmentally engaged voters in America showed up in 2020 and voted for Donald Trump? That's why the spiritually active, governmentally engaged are so hated. And it's why this demographic has to be named with a pejorative, hateful, derisive term, lied about with propaganda, saying that you believe things that you don't, that you're racist when you're not racist, that you're white nationalist when you're not white nationalist. They have to do every bit of that for you because they have to destroy you. They have to destroy you because they have to destroy a potential Trump presidency, because they have to destroy the last vestige of what made America great, which is the foundation of our Judeo-Christian heritage. That's the strength. That's the power. And so where is the solution in all of that? I'm telling you, the solution is that we stand even stronger and prouder on the word of God than we have ever stood before. We stand for his name, for his principles. We don't go silent. We don't turn tail and run when we're called a Christian nationalist. We laugh at whoever says it and says, you have no idea what you're talking about. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to follow him, and I'm going to go to the voting booth and vote the way that I believe the Lord wants me to vote. I'm not listening to you. So this has worked over and over. It's one of the oldest tricks out of the communist playbook there is, that you find your target, you define that target, you make them toxic, and you make them want to run away from it. You think this hasn't happened before? It happens all the time. And people run for it. I dealt with it when I was in Congress. I'm telling you, you want to talk about a bunch of wimps and babies? Go to Congress. We're talking wimps and babies royal. Because the last thing they want is to be called a name. And the one thing they can't risk being called is a racist. So when you turn on TV every night, if you, I know you all watch CNN and MSNBC, when you watch these channels, what is it? These Republicans, they're racist, they're racist. They're the raciest I've ever seen in my life. They're so racist every night. And so guess what freaks Republicans out? They just call me a racist. Oh no, this is terrible. Oh no, I'm not. I promise you, I'm not. It's like, come on. What happened to you? Stand up. Stand up. You know who you are. Don't take this. Don't accept what they're putting on you. So as pastors, we have got to stand with our pastors. We've got to encourage our pastors. We need to have more congregations having more seminars on America's godly heritage, not less, not be shamed into not having people talk about it. We need to have more pastors talking about, what does the Bible have to say about immigration? What does the Bible have to say about taxes? What does the Bible have to say about guns or the death penalty? Or what does the Bible have to say about life? The Bible has something to say about almost every issue in life. Wouldn't a congregation want to know? Yes. A pastor will preach to them if he feels like his congregation wants to know. So we have to have our pastors back. And we've got to pray. We got to stand. We got to pray. In the book of Ephesians, it says, having done all, stand. And so now I've warned you with what, it isn't coming, it's here. So the battle is on, and the battle is raging. And just understand that this is our go time. This is our glory time. This is when we get to stand up. So what's the first thing we have to know? We have to know our God. We have to know the Word. We have to know that there is a God who loves every single human that's ever lived on this planet. And that this God loves us so much, he humbled himself, he came to this earth, he lived a perfect life in the man named Jesus, and he willingly went to the cross and he paid for the sins of you and me and every person that ever lived. And because he died on that cross and rose again, it means that every single one of us can live. We can live. We can be a new life and have a new creation. We don't have to live in this sin-sick body because everybody's a sinner. But we can let that go. And instead, we can accept his free gift of salvation, of eternal life, of living with him forever. Best deal ever. And it's free.
Say, we're transitioning in the program to a discussion and a Q&A, which included Michelle, Pastor Mark Henry, and me, talking about some issues of the day that are very relevant. Again, I can only share minutes here on Understanding the Times Radio. Get the entire program by going to olivetreeviews.org and then to video, or by going to our online store and purchasing the DVD for $10. We charge no shipping in the U.S. or Canada. Now back to the Understanding the Times program.
So ladies, let's move to the next one here. Lockdowns. Lockdowns. Are lockdowns coming? Let's watch this.
Well, we're learning that a World Health Organization staffer has written a report saying that a climate lockdown could be called for. It's like a COVID lockdown, a climate lockdown. Mark Morano is an author who has written a lot about climate change. He founded Climate Depot. He joins us tonight. Mark, thanks so much for coming on. A climate lockdown. Now, I would laugh this off the table, except we all just lived through the last 18 months, so we know that anything is possible. What does this mean exactly?
In my book, Green Fraud, I detail two chapters on this, Tucker. This is the climate activists were, first of all, jealous when the COVID lockdowns happened. They were beside themselves saying, how is this happening? Everyone from Greta Thunberg to John Kerry, UN officials. And then they started saying, we need to follow this. If we can shut down for a virus, we can shut down for climate. And that's what we're seeing. There's even academics in Australia proposing adding climate change to death certificates. And Bill Gates has said the death toll will be greater. So they're following every step of the way. And it's not just a professor here or someone in academia. We have a major UK report coming out. We have an international agency report that came out calling for essentially the same type of lockdowns, everything from restrictions on your thermostat to restrictions of moving. You can only fly in a climate emergency when it's, quote, morally justifiable. Kind of like a lockdown, you have to justify going to the store for essential services. They're going after freedom of movement. They're going after private car ownership. They're going after everything it means to be a free person and turning it over to the administrative state.
Would this include shutting down the iPhone factories in China?
Yeah.
Okay, 52-page document. I just printed it off. Executive order on tackling climate crisis home and abroad. This is right off the White House briefing.
This is how the president has operated.
Yes.
Is under emergency powers. That's how all these tragic things happen in our lives. It wasn't Congress passing a bill. It is the emergency powers that were taken by the executive. And it happened under Donald Trump, too, at the end of his presidency. It was emergency powers that $6-8 trillion got spent. This is real money. The whole budget of the United States government is like about $2 trillion. I mean, you got to realize, during COVID, it was like $6-8 trillion that were spent. Here in the state of Minnesota, we've got billions of dollars sitting around that's COVID money, and they're trying to figure out all the ways that they can spend it on their political friends for this upcoming election. This is sick. You want to know why we have inflation? Because $8 trillion got printed and thrown out. That's why, with nothing behind it.
Right.
No value. So all of our money just collapsed. And so this garbage that just came out about this new infrastructure bill, it should be called the new inflation bill,
because
right. That's what they're doing. But this bill is all about giving unlimited executive powers to the President of the United States, so he virtually is a dictator. He's been a dictator for the last 18 months. And we've seen this with the World Health Organization.
Yes.
They saw how great this worked. The president had emergency powers. Hey, I can lock people down. I can destroy middle-class businesses. They could do anything they wanted to do. Now they wanted to take it international to the UN and give that power to Tedros at the World Health Organization. And so now they're proposing the Global Pandemic Treaty. And so they want to give that kind of power to him at the WHO. And it's always been two things. It's either been climate change was going to be their key, for global government.
Yes.
And now this spring, they tried to go through the World Health Organization because of COVID. That's been their key. But just realize the end goal is global government.
Yes.
It's always been their game. And we are so close, you can't even believe it. They thought they were going to have it in May. They thought it was slam dunk. Believers got involved, fasted, prayed, the whole thing miraculously fell apart in the end of May because believers got involved.
Yep.
So that's why I believe in the power of prayer and fasting. And God's sovereign will.
And you know, they say Christian nationalists are against the republic. Hello, executive orders are against the republic. You understand that? There's this thing called the executive office, but he's only supposed to follow the
laws. It's
an
unconstitutional grab at power. This is not constitutional, what they're doing. And that's why would we take it? Why would we say, oh, okay, I guess I'll be locked down for the next 2 weeks. I mean, no, this is it, done. Take the masks off, don't be locked down. You don't have to do any of this anymore. Sorry, I probably shouldn't have said that.
Yeah. This is becoming creation worship, this whole climate issue. It's the religion of the left, is creation worship and some of the things that they're promising. Take away all our freedoms, that's the goals. Take away anything that it means to be a free person, including travel, could be taken away as soon as this fall. She has a premonition, but I do too, that something is coming up this fall that's going to be a challenge, and perhaps it's this.
Recently, I was with some pastors. We flew down to Atlanta, Georgia, and there was a speaker there at this pastor's conference, this leadership conference, and he spoke on this subject, how if you're a real Christian, you're going to make sure that you recycle and do these different things. And you go to your neighbor, and if he doesn't recycle, you love him in Jesus and recycle his trash for him. I took these two young seminary students, and actually they were already pastoring, and I took them to dinner, and I said, do you know who the greatest polluter is in the world? And both of them looked at me and thought, America? And I smiled, and I said, no. And they said, well, it must be China then. I said, no. I said, have you not read Revelation chapter 8, and it's talking about the trumpet judgments that Jesus is going to pour out on the earth? Can I just tell you? Can I just read this to you? Listen to this. It says, the first sounded, and a third of the earth was burned up. A third. A third of the trees were burned up, and all of the grass was burned up. And then it talks about in the sea, and then it talks about how the fish die, and then the whales die. And friends, my point is simply this. Man worships the creation instead of the creator, and God does not share his glory.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, Jesus is going to destroy this earth. Just so you know, there's going to be a new heavens, a new earth, ultimately. And for those of you that are younger, I want you to catch this. If you're going on a trip to California, you calculate how much you need to get there. There is a timeline for the earth. God's given natural resources to the earth for our needs. Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. And God's provision is there. Utilize it. Use good stewardship. But we do not worship the creation. We worship the creator. Okay, ladies, these last videos, we're going to go very quick. Next one is the subject of banking. We've seen this in China. Let's just watch this again.
That's a video showing tanks lined up on the road in China. It's shocking the internet with over 2 million views. Now, tanks are on the streets in China out to protect the banks. This is because the Henan branch of the Bank of China is declaring that people's savings in their own branch are now investment products and cannot be withdrawn. This clip shows a long queue of tanks preventing locals from reaching the bank branch. And as the camera pans right now, the tank queue is seen covering the entire block. The locals look agitated, but they're forced to wait because of the presence of armed vehicles.
Okay, two things, ladies. Here's my questions to you. The tanks are out to protect the banks. What about protecting the people? It's their money that's in the bank. And the second thing I would ask, ladies, I want you to comment on this. Your savings is just an investment product.
Yeah.
Talk to us about these two things.
Well, that's Orwellian speech. We saw that up in Canada, where Justin Trudeau closed everybody's bank account. Anyone who is supporting the Freedom Truckers, their bank accounts were closed. And we've heard a lot of this, the call for the end of cash and that we're going to go to digital banking. And of course, who's going to give up their cash? Nobody is. So it's going to have to be a crisis. So if they're like the grid goes down or something and you can't get your money, I mean, can you imagine what this would be like? Well, look at what happened in Shanghai, the largest city in China. For 63 days, they locked people in their apartments, in their homes. You know millions of people died. I mean, you know it had to have happened. They were locked in there. A lot of people were nailed shut in there, didn't have food. I mean, this is authoritarianism gone crazy, and that's what you just showed.
I'm playing just a portion of our evening with Michelle Bachmann back on August the 4th. If you'd like more information or to watch it online, go to olivetreeviews.org and then to video.
When you deny people access to their money, that's their property. Your labor goes to get money from your employer, and your money's in the bank for safekeeping. Everything belongs to China. When you're in an authoritarian regime, you have no rights. Everything belongs to the authoritarian. That's what's so unusual about the United States, because all rights were given to us as individual citizens. We gave a little bit of power back to government, but otherwise we retained rights. It's the opposite for China and authoritarian regimes. The authoritarian keeps all the rights, and maybe you'll be lucky to get a peanut butter sandwich. So it's a completely different way of doing things. Like I said, remember this image. Sweeping the old off the table, and in comes the new. There's your authoritarianism for you. And don't think that this administration isn't capable of separating us from our bank accounts.
Oh, yes.
So
amen. We've spent time here, plus on air, dealing with the coming digital currency, which has been referenced here, where everything's going to go, your checking account will go digital. It's coming, the coming digital currency, which means cash will go away. The way we do banking will go away.
Accounting goes away. It's the surveillance state.
That is right.
Literally, you can't buy a piece of gum without government knowing.
Exactly. Everything you buy. And if you're buying too much sugar this week and you shouldn't be eating sugar, they'll know and you'll get reported on.
Now, time has failed us. So what I'm going to do really quick is we're going to jump ahead to another video. I want you ladies just to respond. You just got back from Israel. Will Israel strike Iran? We've had Putin. We've had the Russians, of course, in Europe. They're meeting with the Iranians in Turkey. And, of course, that ties to Ezekiel 38 and 39. And there's just a lot of things going on. But here's the question. Is Israel at a point where they basically got a strike?
Preemptive strike by Israel against Iran's nuclear program. Speculation over this possibility has gone on for years. One Israeli analyst has studied the issue for more than a decade, and he has a dire warning about the devastating consequences such action might bring. Chris Mitchell brings us the story.
In 2012, Yaakov Katz, now the editor-in-chief of the Jerusalem Post, served as the paper's defense analyst. As co-author of Israel versus Iran, The Shadow War, he examined the potential for an attack on Iran's nuclear program.
It seemed at the time that Israel was capable of doing it. I distinctly remember one meeting that I was brought into at the Air Force headquarters in Tel Aviv with the top Air Force general, who basically rolled out a map on a table and showed us how the Israeli Air Force squadrons would fly to Iran.
At the time, Israel prepared night and day.
The Air Force had been training extensively for this operation. Billions and billions of shekels had been poured in to this planning and to training and to buying up the munitions and the technology and the weapons that would be needed to take out some of the facilities.
Then Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Defense Minister Ehud Barak tried but failed to convince the cabinet, army, and security chiefs to take action.
In the end, that never happened. So that was the backdrop back in 2012. And it seemed real, it seemed viable, and it seemed like Israel had a real opportunity to cause enough damage to set back Iran's nuclear program.
Now, 10 years later, the problem and targets remain the same. Natanz, Iran's main uranium enrichment facility. Fordow, with thousands of centrifuges burrowed into a mountain. To the west, Iraq, where a heavy water plutonium facility is under construction. And further south, Iran's uranium conversion facility in Isfahan. Since this scenario hasn't changed in 10 years, what about Israel's military capability?
Michelle, you just got back from Israel. You're connected at lots of high levels. Just give us your thoughts there.
Well, it's the saddest thing in the world to me that the United States facilitated over $150 billion to Iran exactly when they were screaming death to America during the Obama years. And so that funding went from us to Israel's number one terrorist threat in the world.
We didn't even get any oil out of it.
No, we get nothing out of it. We just empowered them. Yeah. That's continued on, unfortunately, now with Joe Biden. He's done everything he can to also empower them. They call Israel the little Satan. They call the United States the big Satan. And they want nuclear weapons not just for Israel. They can already reach Israel with their weapons. It's for us.
Yes.
That's what these are for, and for any of their enemies. So this is a very real threat. They are the number one terrorist nation in the world and have been since 1979. The difference with Iran is that they have the political will to use them. You have a lot of bad actors in the world with nuclear weapons. The Ayatollahs will use them.
Yes.
He wrote a book 7 years ago that said, "We will annihilate Israel in 25 years." They're serious about this. So we're at this cusp. I can tell you when I was at the Golan Heights, one thing that was a little different is that all night long I heard helicopters and things, so there may have been like missions, but this is like the worst possible time for Israel in a lot of ways because Bennett stepped down. They have a caretaker government with Lapid right now. This isn't when you want to make a big decision like that to go and attack someone because Israel, this is unprecedented in Israel's history. They're having their fifth election in 3 years. It's been unstable for 3 years in Israel. Now, the good thing is the economy is pretty good over there. The private sector is doing pretty well, but politically, they are unstable. They don't know what's going to happen. So to do something like this, and nobody has their backs. Nobody has their backs. The EU doesn't. The U.S. doesn't. The U.S. has never been more anti-Israel than we are right now.
Yeah.
The person that the Biden administration put in charge of Israel and the Middle East is a complete anti-Semite Jew hater. And so this is not the time. They're going to have to go it alone. And it's interesting in Scripture how it says that Israel does go it alone, that all nations will be against them. All nations. And so that's why they can't depend on us. They have to depend on the strong right arm of a holy God. And He will be there for them. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. So we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I stood right by the CBN where they were broadcasting and TBN. I stood right by it last night and we prayed for the peace of Jerusalem overlooking the Mount of Olives. It's a beautiful scene and I have full confidence that God is going to have this for them, but they're going to have to look to Him.
Well, that's what it says in Ezekiel 38:39. It says that every nation doesn't get involved, but that God delivers them in that incredible war of Gog and Magog. Remember, Putin, Iran's leader, and Turkey's leader, Erdogan, all met together.
This never happened before in history.
And there they were, the three major players, Gog and Magog, standing side by side, all holding hands. I mean, that was leaping right out of the pages of the Bible.
I want to leave you with a verse tonight. And the reason is you can look at all this and be scared to death. And you should not be scared to death. Why? Because our God is in the heavens and He does whatever He pleases. It's God who raises up kings and removes kings. Yes, vote, get involved, but just know that God has a bigger plan and sometimes it's hard for us to see. Daniel found that out. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found that out. Joseph found that out in Egypt. And on I could go with the illustrations of that. But I want you to hold on to this verse because if you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen to these words. The Apostle Paul is thrown in prison. Why is he in prison? Because he's done something evil? No. He's only done good things. And Nero's gone around and burned Rome. He's going to burn Rome. He's going to blame it on who? Christians. And the persecution will rise. Well, he's in prison right now, and he's writing this final message to Timothy. He's been abandoned. He stood before the authorities alone. He says, only the Lord stood with me. All my Christian friends took off. And then he concludes with these words, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to His heavenly kingdom. Friends, in the reality, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you got to hold on to that verse. Otherwise, you will lose your mind watching this insanity unfold. Let me just pull you back to those two thoughts. First one is this, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed. Who is our rescuer? God is our rescuer. And if you think the government is your rescuer, you're going to be really disappointed. If you think your pastor is going to be your rescuer, I got news for you. You're going to be disappointed. But the chief shepherd, the living Christ, he is our rescuer. What will he rescue us from? From every evil deed. Whether it comes from Europe or Washington or St. Paul, every evil deed, he will rescue us.
Say, I hope you found this hour informative. Watch our website and newsletters for future events that we sponsor. All are live streamed to the world at no cost. Today's program was only a portion of our conference program back on August the 4th with Michelle Bachman. The full two-hour version is on our website, olivetreeviews.org, and then to video. In the meantime, won't you look back and thank him? Look around and serve him. Look ahead and trust him, but always look up and expect him. Jesus is coming again sooner than you think. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again next week. You are the
love song. We'll sing forever. Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. The point of this hour was to encourage you to look up and not around at your circumstances. Jesus Christ is returning for his bride very soon, and the events of the day just reveal how everything is falling into place.